We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. Paul Brettel's joining us. And he's here. And this video is on YouTube as well, on our Dan Shaney YouTube stream. So I'm going to talk to Paul. Then what you're going to hear is the Brewers postgame show I tried to do after they lost to the Nationals, in which I'll edit out all the – if you watch on YouTube, there's like 4 minutes of technical video garbage. So you don't want to watch that. But I do talk a little bit about the Brewers, whatever. And then, you know, something at the end. So that's how the podcast is going to work. But for the YouTube and for the meat of this show, I am joined by Paul Brettel. You can find his work all over the place. And he's got – so here's – the first thing I want to do is talk to you about, Paul, because you're doing the same thing that, like, I did where – and people are very familiar on this channel about – what YouTube watch hours mean and what it means to get 1,000 subscriptions. So just like I asked all you guys, I need your help to get these subscriptions. Paul's got a YouTube channel where he's getting close on subscriptions and he's getting close on watch hours. So the same way you help me, you got to help out my guy, Paul, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would greatly appreciate it. Over on YouTube, it's just my name, Paul Brettel, B-R-E-T-L.
You can also check him out at the Packers Wire, Dairyland Express. Follow him on Twitter, and he links everything there. He has done a really good job of covering the Packers. And we've interacted before, and we follow each other for a while. Mm-hmm. But here's the main reason I want to have you on is, so like the last 2 weeks, you know, I'm all over the place doing like national garbage and whatever. And I'm like, well, I need to know what happened at camp today. And so I like look, and there's an article that comes up, and I read it. And then there's like another article, and there's a tweet. And then I'm realizing they're like all yours. Like everything I'm reading is from you. And then, so like now you're like the first guy I search out. I just think you've been doing an incredible job covering camp. And so first of all, good job.
Thank you. I do greatly appreciate that. It's been a blast. And this is, you know, I love the entire football season, but honestly, this is one of my favorite parts right now.
And Paul, you know, just like, you know, he's got a real job, you know, whatever, but this is a labor of love for him. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, I think like, and especially this year, this is a different year for the Packers. And, you know, there's been years where like I watch the training camp updates and I'm like, God, I don't need to know that Rodgers hit Lazard over the middle. But like this year, I do need to know. I need to know everything. And it's not just the Jordan Love stuff. It's just the complete different, I think, aura of what you're feeling up there right now, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look throughout this team and there's a lot of youth. And I mean, Matt LaFleur said it best, with some of that youth, some of that unknown comes excitement. And especially looking at this offense, obviously there's Jordan Love, but we look at the skill position players, there's tons and tons of speed and tons of versatility. So from what Matt LaFleur wants to do, what he wants to accomplish within this offense, there's going to be, you know, I think some different looks that we'll see this year from this, you know, Packers offense. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, hasn't been as much turnover, but there's some unknowns along the defensive front. And then they still have some big playmakers. Rashawn Gary will be back at some point. Of course, they got Jair and Rasul at cornerback. So again, it's like you said, it's a different feeling, but there's still this excitement because of that different feeling.
Talking about the offense first. So I don't know if Matt LaFleur is a good coach or not. I think that he is smart at football. I think that there's been a lot of instances where you can tell he's learning on the job. I think one of the things that he does a lot that he needs to stop doing is saying, oh, that's my fault. You say it enough, we're going to start to believe you, okay? But this Matt LaFleur offense, we're going to see the Matt LaFleur offense now that, you know, Rodgers isn't there and whatever. Have you started to see, are we seeing shades of it? Are we seeing a little bit more? Are we seeing kind of what we saw? Is it like a completely new offense where it's like, oh my God, where was this? What are, like, from an offensive perspective, how different does the team look?
I mean, in terms of what they're trying to accomplish and what they do, I don't think we're going to, you know, turn on the preseason or week one and be like, whoa, what is this? Where did it come from? But some nuance changes that we're going to see more of is attacking the middle of the field. You know, that's not something that Aaron Rodgers did very often. He preferred to go to the boundaries. But if we look at San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan offense, which the Matt LaFleur system comes from, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy, they were some of the highest in terms of quarterback percentage attacking the middle of the field. They were up amongst the top individuals over the last few seasons. So we're going to see more of that. And we've already been seeing that in training camp as well. That's where this offense, when they are finding success, I found that it's been love going to the middle of the field. And again, that's an important part of the LaFleur offense. It gets these guys in space, gives them yards after the catch opportunities. And with the speed that they have, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Luke Musgrave, you know, it can create some big play potential. So I think that's one area over the middle where we're going to see a big shift. And then as well as I expect the gadget, the motion role within this offense, take on a larger role as well from previous years. We've seen them kind of fill it here and there. There was Tyler Irvin. There was Tavon Austin that they brought in halfway through one season to kind of fill that role. But as the practices go on and they're getting, you know, more established within their installs and getting deeper into the playbook, we're seeing that aspect of it become more prominent. And right now it's Jaden Reed and running back Tyler Goodson who are filling those roles for the most part. So again, I don't think we're going to see this huge shift, something completely different, but those are two things from being at training camp that have stood out as, you know, the pendulum swung a little bit more in the direction of that being those aspects being more prominent within the offense.
I think that the league, like, this is a Jordan Love question because I actually kind of didn't start with one, which I'm surprised at. I started more of a LaFleur one. But with Love, I think that, you know, we know he had a good day the other day, and there's a couple plays that we like and we retweet and stuff. I am very curious and eager to see what happens if in week one he has three, maybe four touchdowns. Like, if he has a good week, like a really good week, I don't think the NFL, and when I say the NFL, I mean media, fans, broadcasters, anyone involved in this sport, I don't think anyone has prepared themselves for the possibility of Jordan Love being good. Jordan Love's either going to be very bad or above average, or he'll be like a Marcus Mariota. You know, nobody's prepared for Jordan Love to be good. Is he, like, what have you seen from him to lead us one way or the other? Because what I'm seeing, just being at home to ourselves, is that, oh, he might be good.
Yeah, with those throws that you mentioned, like one to Christian Watson, and then there was the pass to Jaden Reed. Reed didn't catch it, but it was a beautifully placed ball. I mean, that shows the ceiling that he has in terms of the ability to throw players open and not necessarily have everything schemed open for him through how the offense is operating. So that's obviously the ceiling that can be there. And, you know, that we go back to him coming out of college when he was drafted. We knew that he had the arm talent. It's about harnessing it. It's about finding the consistency, being accurate with it on a regular basis. So that I see as, you know, glimpses of the ceiling. But on the other side, we saw those highlights on Twitter, but there was also an interception that bounced off of Quay Walker's chest. He's still very much been.
I'm not retweeting those ones.
Of course not.
I don't want people to see those.
He's still very much been, you know, experiencing the learning curve that comes with a first-time starting quarterback. And, you know, Matt LaFleur said right now with Love, they're just focused on the process. more so than the results, with the thought process being if the process is done consistently and done correctly, the results will take care of themselves. So what does that mean? It means getting in and out of the huddle efficiently, having a good base in the pocket, throwing on time, throwing on rhythm, the mechanics to be accurate, going through his progressions, sound footwork, mechanics when he's on the move. So that's what they're really diagnosing right now. And while there are still up and downs, what I will say is I feel that even over the last week of practices, there's been six of them now, five of them have been at full speed, two of them in pads. We're starting to see a little bit more of that consistency in those processes, and it's leading to more of those wow throws that we're starting to see on, you know, posted on Twitter as highlights and all that stuff. So still searching for the overall consistency, but again, those, I think he's on the right track in terms of finding it.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Bart Winkler Show. We are talking with Paul Bredel. This conversation is also in video form. You can see it on YouTube, on my YouTube page, which is brought to you by Dan Shaney Insurance. DanShaney.com helps with your auto, home, business, and more. Paul is a YouTube page. Subscribe to this guy. We always talk about give him the Bart Winkler bump. The Bart Winkler bump is about 2 to 3 people.
All right.
So I would expect... if you get less than that, I'll be upset. But I would expect 2 to 3 more YouTube followers for Paul Bredel, and hope maybe 4. Maybe somebody else will come through. But just like you guys did for me to get me to that 1,000 mark, we need you to do for Paul because he's been killing it with the coverage. Also, we are brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. Happy Place Hemp, promo code BART, 25% off all your CBD needs. They've got the Delta 8s, Delta 9s, and much, much more. Depending on how the season goes, will probably depend on how much we take of that to pretend like things aren't happening. But that's the thing. I think that, like, I know that everybody's going to say, oh, well, it's nice this year. There's not a Super Bowl year. There's not, you know, we can just kind of, like, watch the football. And then but if they start, like, 0-4 or 0-3, man, even if they lose to the Bears, it will be back to complaining and being mad about everything. This was a team last year that was 8-9, and I don't know that they deserve to be 8-9. Are they, like, where are they? Where are you watching a good football team? Is it sloppy? Could it be good? What's, like, your read right now on what kind of team this is?
I think everywhere in between of everything that you just listed.
It's not just love. It's they're so young. You know, Rodgers came in for Favre, used the same team. Mm-hmm. Love comes in, it's like, half the team's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we look at the skill position players, receivers and tight end, incredibly young, as you mentioned. There's been, you know, some drop passes from those group with the tight end position specifically. I know it's talked about a lot. Matt LaFleur's mentioned it, but it's a difficult transition for those guys to the NFL, just with all the responsibilities that they have, specifically as blockers. And we know that's a big part of the offense. So, I mean, there's an incredible unknown. If we fast forwarded and someone told me that they won 5 games this year, I'd believe you. If we fast forward and someone told me they won 11, I'd believe that too. and everything in between, because you can see the pieces of the puzzle being there. It's just all the unknowns and all the question marks. And I think as we look at, again, where this Matt LaFleur offense stems from, Sean McVay went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Kyle Shanahan went to a Super Bowl and NFC Championship with Jimmy Garoppolo. Those aren't Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So it's not that if the LaFleur offense and system does what, you know, it hopefully can do, it's not as if Love has to come in and play at that level for this team to find, you know, that type of success. And again, I'm not saying that that's going to happen this year. I'm talking long-term, but that's what you hope happens. The ability to get guys in space, you have that speed, you have that versatility, create mismatches, and then, you know, get them the ball in space where they can make big plays on relatively easier throws where the quarterback isn't always shouldering the burden or doing the heavy lifting of having to create those opportunities. So I think that's what the hope is. And in terms of the offense, I know a lot of the eyes are on Love and the receivers, of course, but any success that this group's going to have starts on the offensive line. And I know that's not the fun, sexy topic all the time, but if Jordan Love doesn't have time, it's not going to end well.
Yeah.
If the run game doesn't get going and this offense is facing second and longs, third and longs in predictable situations, maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I'm going to guess right now that it's not going to go well. The offensive line has to play well. They have to give him time in the pocket. They have to be able to create running lanes, and they're going to have to hold up against the blitz. Cause I'm going to guess that early on in the season, defenses are going to throw a lot of different blitzes at Love in this offense. Some disguise coverages as well, where there's late movement before the snap. So what Love sees before the snap versus when he's up and looking around are two completely different things to try to confuse him. So offensive line is going to be so vital to the success of that team as a whole.
What is your favorite, when you're out there watching everything, what's like your favorite group to watch? Is it the big uglies, or is it the sexy skill position? What do you like to watch the most?
Right now, the position group that has me the most, I guess we'll say infatuated, maybe for lack of a better term, is the interior defensive line, believe it or not. There's still a ton of question marks there, but one very noticeable change to me compared to past years is the speed that this group has. Devontae Wyatt's taken on a larger role. We, of course, all know what Kenny Clark can bring to that unit. They drafted Kobe Wooden, who tested elite athletically prior to the draft. Carl Brooks, another draft pick this year. The speed of that group is just so much faster, and we're seeing it in terms of their ability to get in the backfield very quickly at times, but also in the sideline-to-sideline movement when they're pursuing the ball carriers. And I go back to the Play Callers podcast that was presented by The Athletic. It was focused on the offensive side, but they had Brandon Staley on there, the Los Angeles Chargers head coach. He comes from the Vic Fangio defensive coaching tree.
Worst coach in the league. Yeah, go on.
And Joe Barry was brought in to run a similar form of that. Well, when Staley was speaking, he mentioned that a big part of his defensive scheme being successful is up front having versatility and having speed. And I feel like over these last two drafts, that's really been a shift that Brian Gutekunst has tried to make in terms of personnel. Whereas we look at past, you know, key contributors along with Clark, or next to Clark, I should say, you know, Dean Lowry, Tyler Lancaster, guys who are just more space eaters, occupiers, rather than having that speed where they're gap penetrators and really trying to get upfield. So that's one noticeable shift in personnel. And it feels like it's, you know, obviously been done intentionally to try to best give Barry the type of guys he needs up front. And again, I don't know how this group's going to perform. They're so young. Receivers, tight ends are getting the attention for youth, but outside of Kenny Clark, TJ Slayton's the next most experienced guy, and he's played fewer than 600 snaps. Wyatt's played fewer than 250, and no one else at the defensive line has any NFL snaps right now. I'm not sure what to expect from this group, but just from what I'm seeing compared to, I guess, what we're used to as Packer fans, it's just a noticeable change with that speed and that versatility that that group has.
So is Clark like on the edge right now? What are they doing with him?
Yeah, he's been at defensive end quite a bit, actually. And the hope with that is
I have a hard time picturing that.
Yeah, he's not an edge rusher, but he's at the defensive end. And the hope with that is it's just going to be more one-on-one opportunities. You know, the closer you get to the center, that's more potential double teams. And, of course, that you know, hurts your ability to make an impact. So that's something that could be really exciting for this defensive front this year, because as we know, Kenny Clark in one-on-ones is going to be a good thing. Their go-to defensive line unit has been Clark and Wyatt at defensive end, TJ Slayton in the middle, and then two edge rushers on the outside of them. But yeah, this hopefully ends up being, because, you know, as that being a factor, a really big year for Kenny Clark.
I feel like on the defense, whether it's Clark or whoever, I look at that depth chart, and last year, dude, I was one of my most wrong takes ever was I was so high about the defense. I thought they were just going to be like the greatest defense that we've ever seen. And it wasn't that way. I feel like, yeah, you know, there's some questions at safety and they're trying to figure some stuff out here. And there's some guys that are hurt, but I feel like for the average Packer fan, there's like the potential of what the defense could be. And right when we can't even like reach that point, cause we smack into the Joe Barry glass ceiling. is that fair, or is the defense not as like, it's not all his fault? Like, we are nobody. Joe Barry, they're going to have to shut out every team for 10 weeks before anyone thinks it's Joe Barry's doing.
Yeah, I mean, at this point with the defense, I'm in the, hey, you got to show me right now before I'm buying into what this group can do. And yeah, there's definitely, you know, changes that Joe Barry has to make. He has to be better, but there's a lot of things too where, you know, the players were responsible for some of those bad plays as well. The tackling as a whole from this Packers defense last year was not good. On the back end, specifically at safety, just a ton of miscommunications, which led to coverage breakdowns and to big plays. Their run defense, I mean, that's something that's been an issue for the Packers for a long time. So again, this isn't meant to be an excuse for the defense or for Joe Barry. At the end of the day, he's the guy in charge. He's the one making the decisions. But, you know, that's also to say the players have to play better as well. And I think something, if we want to hold on to a little nugget of hope, of promise from last year, was the late changes that they made in the secondary, playing more cover two, cover six, really, and just allowing Jair Alexander to move around a little bit more. It's not as if he was moving during or before the snap with motion, yeah, right. But the Minnesota game really stands out to me in week 17 where Justin Jefferson came out of the huddle, Jair went to that side versus it early on in the season was Jair's just on the left or Jair's just on the right. So
yeah,
we saw some of those changes take place, many of them a little too late into the season for our liking. So something to hold on to, but I'm in the, like you said, I'm going to need to see them find success and do it repeatedly before I'm fully bought in of, all right, they're doing it right now. This is the defensive unit that we wanted to see. And similarly to offense where it's in the trenches, defense is the same way. It's about the run defense. There's the third down stat from last season, I feel like really encapsulates this Packers defense and run defense. They were eighth best in football at getting off the field on third downs last year. When I first saw that, I was a little bit surprised. I didn't think it'd be that good. Where the issue came is they faced the fewest third downs per game. So what does that tell us? Well, when they were in third downs, it's because they had early down success. Teams are in third and longs. The pass rush is the strength of this unit. The cornerbacks are the strength of this unit. The pass rush can pin their ears back, get after the quarterback. Cornerbacks can play aggressively. However, the run defense struggled, so offenses are moving the chains before third down because they're in second and shorts or picking it up even before then. And at that point, the defense is on its heels, you know, because the offense is dictating everything right now. So it all starts with this run defense being better in terms of the overall defensive picture improving. And to me, along the interior defensive line, we just talked about the questions that are there. That's the biggest one. They have pass rush options, but who, in addition to TJ Slayton, is going to step up and fill that role? Obviously, Kenny Clark's going to be a big part of it, but interior defensive line's heavily rotated. Kenny Clark can't play all the pass rush snaps and all the run defense snaps. So that means Devontae Wyatt, Kobe Wooden, Carl Brooks, you know, maybe Jonathan Ford if he makes the team. These other guys are going to have to step up and really, really help out against the run.
So I want to bring up something that you just wrote about Carlson, the kicker. Because we talked defense here, we talked offense. And I was talking, I did Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's podcast. I'll promote it for him. Curt and Long. But I was on with him, and he's like, I don't know if anyone cares. I might be the only one that cares. But why do they used to bring like seven kickers in camp every year with Crosby. And it's just Carlson right now, and he's not doing great. Mm-hmm. I find it's weird because the Packers are like, they keep making all these moves on defense still. Like, they're making a move every day. Mm-hmm. They're bringing in new guys on offense. Or like, and then there's this kicker thing that they just like don't care about, or what's the deal?
I think it goes back to what Brian Gutekunst said last week, and that not only Carlson, but the young players on this team in general, they need reps. And if we look at past years where they're bringing in others, even though they have Mason Crosby, I think a lot of that was just to, you know, give Crosby some time off throughout the summer. Whereas here, they drafted Anders Carlson, and he needs all the reps that he can get right now. And this
but with kickers, it's like just go to a school afterwards and kick 15 times if you didn't get your reps in. That's like I would. That's what I would be fascinated. I would just watch the kickers and be like, "You get paid for this, huh?" Wow.
So I think that's kind of where they're at. They just want him to get as many reps as possible. And if you're going to rely on a rookie kicker like they are, they obviously knew that there's going to be days like the last two that he just had. And really, what they're looking at right now is how is he going to bounce back. They could, you know, if the next week he struggles over the next week, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them bring someone in, but I feel like they're also going to give him that grace in knowing that there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be highs and lows, and really try to evaluate if they can, you know, rely on him this season. And not to say that in past years, obviously the value of field goals and extra points don't matter. Of course they do, but when you have a young offense that, at least throughout training camp here, has struggled situationally in two-minute drill, red zone, you know, field goals and extra points are going to be at a premium because the Packers might end up relying on them quite heavily. And if you have a young kicker who's out there who's inconsistent and they're leaving points on the board, which, until proven otherwise, are probably going to be at a premium for this offense, I mean, that's a huge loss, a huge, huge blow to this team as a whole. So I get why they're giving him the opportunities. They want to see if he can figure it out. But it's also a dangerous game too, as well, for the reasons just mentioned.
I just find it so interesting. And as a, like, I'm a big soccer guy. It's what I grew up playing, and you know, I obviously still like it. It's this, like, this is contact. It's the most contact we get in any sport, and there's so much like chess moving that happens, and the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, we're paying all these money to the quarterbacks. And sometimes these games just get decided on if a guy kicks it through. I can't wrap my head around it.
I think part of, like, throughout, like, Rich Bisaccia signed off on that draft pick, of course. And I think the respect or the clout that Bisaccia carries within the organization, like, they're trusting him. He met one-on-one with Carlson before the draft. Like, he flew down to Auburn to meet with him. He worked with his brother Daniel in Las Vegas and helped him turn his career around after his time in Minnesota. So I also think that's a factor in this as well, that they're, and Gutekunst said, Rich has a really good track record just in working with kickers throughout his career. So I think that that's playing a factor in this as well, that they're trusting him to help get Anders on track and where he needs to be, or hopefully at least close to it.
You know, what is kind of sucks is that Rich Bisaccia might be the greatest special teams coach that we've ever had. And during the height of Rodgers' career, we had a bunch of idiots. Now we got this guy that is like the man.
It's definitely been, not only Bisaccia's obviously been a huge part of this and facilitating it, but it's that Niners game, that playoff game from a few years ago, it shifted the whole Packers organization, their mindset of how they view special teams. Like, they would never admit it, but it was an afterthought. They're looking for offensive contributors, defensive contributors, and, oh yeah, we need you on special teams too. Now look at their last two off seasons. I mean, this one in particular, Keyshawn Nixon, Rudy Ford, Dallin Leavitt, Tavarius Moore from the Niners, Matt Orchak, the long snapper for the Rams when they won the Super Bowl. Like, almost all of their additions this offseason have special teams value for this team. So Bisacci's out, like I said, he's been a big part of it, but it's taken Gutekunst and the personnel staff to shift how they view that third unit as well, to help us finally see the hopefully continued progression moving forward.
Man, that is crazy. You're right. Like in high school football, who plays special teams? The kids that can't get on the field. And that's what the Packers do. But in the NFL, like, that changes games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen
it. You block a punt and fall on in the end zone, and you just beat the Packers at Lambeau Field 10-7 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
How did this franchise went through 2014, and it took them 8 years later to figure out special teams was important?
What are we doing? It seems that way.
Insane. Paul Bredel, you're doing a great job up there in Green Bay. Appreciate everything you're doing. Appreciate you coming on here. And make sure you follow this guy on YouTube, because we are getting so close. If we can get another guy. Again, it's not the best part about YouTube is you are enjoying the content, but you're not paying for it. We're getting it from Big Google.
Okay?
So that's what we need. So subscribe, and then when he monetizes it, watch the ads, click on those links, purchase the product, and help him out. Paul, I appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bart. This was a blast. Greatly appreciate it.
Let's talk some Brewers. Brewers lose 3-2. They lost in a dumb way to the Nationals. They had a 2-1 lead. Devin Williams came in. And then there was a play at the plate. Monasterio throws it to Contreras. I thought he had it. Foot was on home plate. Ball gets away. And then another run scores. So they load the bases. The force is at home. Can't get it done. And here we are. The Brewers lose. I tried to do this podcast several times. And the internet's shit again. It is shit again. I pay an ungodly amount of money for the stupid internet service. Here's how my day went today. There's one thing that I will not pay for. I'll pay for internet. I'll pay a shitload for internet, and apparently it's not good enough. The thing I won't pay for is bank fees at an ATM. I won't do it. I get the convenience of it, but I won't do it. I won't do it. I'll pay for anything. I will do the claw machine until I win. I will tip very well. I won't do the bank fees. So I have US Bank, and I needed a cash withdrawal today because of, I don't know, my wife bought a dresser or some shit. She got to pay cash for this guy. So I go to the US Bank in Glendale. Their ATM's not working. So I drive up. I sit there for 10 minutes. Okay. Nobody comes. Then I go to the US Bank down by Maryland or whatever. ATM doesn't work there. The traffic was bad. I'm in a shitty mood. I don't go into the bank. I just drive home. I go, I'm going to go to the Walgreens by my house. Go to the Walgreens. I put it in. I need $500. Okay? The most you can take out is four. So now I have to do two transactions if I want, and that's two fees. Screw that. I go home. I'm like, all right, I'm going to regroup. I'm going to go to Metro Market. I go to Metro. Most you can take is $200. So now it'd be three transactions. So I go home. Finally, I did end up going back to the bank, just walking in like I should have. But why are there no US Bank ATMs in this goddamn town? I take Jake's on a walk. What's up?
Wasn't there a Quick Trip near you, buddy?
So, no, because I live in Milwaukee-ish, no Quick Trip.
Oh. You got to come out to the suburbs, buddy.
Now, I understand they have the no-fee ATMs.
Yeah. Did you know they sell groceries, too?
Did you know that they're basically like what bodegas are in New York City?
Sorry, I was doing my Zabe face for you.
Nice. What's up?
That's an old poll. No, well, that sucked. That sucked hard.
And then I had a freak out. So I'll tell you more. I'm in Walgreens noticing my I take my wallet. I throw it at the door. These three ladies are talking. They're like older ladies. They're having the conversation of their life. They're like, oh, yeah, once we moved to Thiensville, I really like that area is so incredible. And they're like just having a nice day at Walmart. And here comes some fatty throwing it. Then I try to leave Walgreens. There's a car in my way. So now I'm in the middle of Walgreens honking. That Walgreens parking lot is like what's the – there's some show where if people get too close to each other, they had to be set. What's that movie? There's like
– sounds like a Marvel show.
No, maybe. They get too close to each other, and they like – it bring like – was it WandaVision? Was it something WandaVision?
You tell me, man. I don't know.
Anyway, so they had to be apart. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. So they had to be apart. That's how I am with this Walgreens parking lot. Every time I go in there, it's a goddamn nightmare.
Anyway, I feel that, man.
What's up? What's up? Where are you? You look like you're in a nice place.
I'm not going to disclose that. I'm just going to pull a cue here. Or not a cue. Cone, man.
Cone?
It is nice out today. I found some shade.
And I'm trying to get these tickets locked in. This motherfucker won't answer my phone.
You're going up against it today, man.
I know. I am swimming upstream.
No, I needed to go to some place where I could let out some woosahs, and because that sucked. I mean, that just sucked hard.
The movie, thank you. The movie is Hancock. The movie is Hancock. Will Smith.
I always thought that was a really interesting concept. And then they did a twist in that movie that just made less than zero sense. And it was like, you were immediately out on the movie completely. Like, he was kind of like the anti-superhero superhero. And that was before it was played out and overdone. So at the time, I was like, oh, this is kind of neat. This is different. I'm digging this. And then just, you know, the dumbest plot twist imaginable. And you're like, all right, I'm ready to leave this theater. That's what I remember from Hancock.
My dad says, remember Happy Place Hemp promo code BART.
Good call, Mr. B. Or Mr. Dub. G-Dubs. Yes. No, yes. I really just wanted to come on here.
Ken says, the movie he was thinking of is the same as BART's go-to sexual move when he was in high school.
Damn. See, everybody's angry about this loss. They're taking it out now. I'm not digging this.
Yeah, someone said, I fucking hate that hat that I'm wearing.
Damn.
Jesus.
M Shark. See somebody, man.
Also, I dated a Mormon in high school. There was no sex.
I know. I asked you about soaking, and you just,
I know what soaking is now. I didn't at the time.
Okay. So that was definitely out. It's a shame.
How can someone be in such a good mood after this horrible loss? Are they talking about you? They're not talking about me.
I mean, I'm in a bad mood, but like, you know, at the end of the day, it's just sports. You guys chill out. And that's kind of what my main point was today. I wanted to come on here to preemptively tell people to shut the fuck up. That's baseball. That's what happens. And really, like, Brewers Twitter, I didn't realize how awful Brewers Twitter is. Like, it's not as bad as Packers Twitter, but it's up there. Or just like people bitching about, this is why they should have got more bats. Why didn't you get more bats? Like, what team is going to get two bats and a reliever at the trade deadline and then have their fan base not be satisfied? Like, people just chill. This season was not supposed to happen. The Brewers are supposed to be in the cellar or second to last, like scraping by.
No.
They're a year ahead of the rebuild.
They're not in they're not in. What are you looking at? They're not in a rebuild.
Well, listen, in this offseason, Woodruff's gone, Burns is gone, Adames is gone. Like, that's, to me, it's, you're beginning to see the start of a rebuild. And the way that their farm system is set up, it's now it's time for these guys to start coming up and taking over as the main guys, not like the supplementary pieces. So my main point is, like, shut the fuck up and be glad that you have some semi-relevant baseball to watch for the rest of the summer. They're not winning the World Series. They weren't winning the World Series if they got, you know, Eloy Jimenez or whatever imaginary bat that you think was available. And that's the other piece, is like, it was such a seller's market. There was no bats to be had. So name me somebody as a needle mover that actually would have done something or changed the outlook of this team. It wasn't there. So the Brewers did the right thing. They gave up little scraps to kind of say that they're kind of going for it-ish, and whatever happens, happens. But just shut the fuck up and enjoy it. I don't get
like,
it.
Who are? Is there like one person you're thinking of? Who are you reacting to?
That Brewers Raptor guy is just insufferable. I hope if he listens to the show, please.
I like Brewers Raptor.
Come to the tailgate. Like, I need to analyze this dude because so he's complaining about the Brewers not doing anything significant, but he has this like fetish for Brent Suter of all people. So it doesn't make sense to me. Something's not right with that guy.
The last thing that I see he tweeted was Santana and Canna were 0-7. They won't be this bad, but this team needs to take 3 or 4 from Pittsburgh or sweep. Oh, I don't know that we're in like I don't know. I don't know that we're in needs to wants to has to anything yet.
I definitely think we're in needs to wants to is in I wants to and Brewers Raptor needs to shut the fuck up. That's where I'm at. I'm sorry, I'm dropping a lot of I gotta watch my mouth, man. There's no reason for this. See, now I am angry.
It's an angry day. Does to me. It's an angry day.
It's, you know,
I spend a lot of time in traffic today up and down, you know, the east side of 43, going up to Glendale, going down to east side. Everyone is driving. Everyone today is driving like a fucking, like they're on a tour.
See, hold on. You spent $500 on a used dresser? Like, is it nice?
I don't know how much
dresser. Just go to IKEA.
I know that she needed a dresser for the kid, and I needed to get this much money. I don't know if all the money is going to what.
Damn, man. Yeah, should have gone a Quick Trip. What can I say?
It's not even my money. It's just she doesn't have a debit card because we lost it.
Well, it's both of your money. You know, that's you
make that commitment. Right, we share a bank account, unlike you cycle couples.
Yeah, that's weird. If you've been with somebody like in the years, the plural, it doesn't really – I don't get that. Clearly, you're not ready to make that.
We're coming up on 10 years.
Wow. How long have you been married?
10.
Oh, okay. So that's 10 of marriage. How long were you together before that?
3.
Oh, damn.
3?
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Same thing with
me. I don't know. You won't believe this about me, but we like broke up a few times.
Oh, no. The whole like, I got to find who I am, you know.
Yeah.
It happens, man. You made the right call. You got the commitment there. And for Brewers fans, cheer up. Relish in the fact that we get to watch Jordan Love play football coming up here pretty soon. And everything's going to be just hunky-dory.
All right, buddy. Well, what else you got? You got everything off your chest? You need to – Brewers Raptor's a nice guy.
I'm sure he is. Again, it's that whole, you know, electronic world that we live in where I can say whatever I want about something over, you know, the data waves here. But if I met him in person, I'd be like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I feel like a lot of the – interactions at this Winkler tailgate is going to go. It's just going to be a bunch of dudes coming up to each other going, ah.
Yeah, that's why that's the only reason I'm going through with this is to see you guys talk to each other.
It'll be fascinating.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to get out.
Thanks, Jake.
Love you.
Let me go through the game. 3-2 is the final. As Brewers Raptor noted, the new guys didn't do shit. Taylor hit a home run. Yelich had a nice base hit. I thought that was going to be the game winner. Bullpen was all right until Devin came in. Kind of sporadic today. Wade Miley, 4 innings, 60 pitches. This was his first game back. 3 hits. He had a no-hitter going in the third, which you like never mention and don't care about. But everybody's favorite, Josh Maurer on the radio. I was driving. I heard him say, oh, we got a no-hitter going. Third inning. Then guess immediately what happened. Hit. Wade Miley got activated. Owen Miller got sent down. Owen Miller. Remember when Owen Miller had the greatest April of all time, or May, or whatever stupid month it was. Owen Miller. Peter says, season's over. Wow. I don't know. It's a stupid loss. I'm going to go on living my life. There's more things that have pissed me off. I'm telling you, I had a really bad morning. I really did. I had a bad morning. I'll get real deep with you and like really let you in. I talked about, I take anxiety pills. I haven't taken one in a long, like months on accident. Then I realized, oh shit, I haven't been taking, like, I thought I was, so I took one today and then like my brain like is resetting or some shit. So normally be like, oh yeah, I went to the bank. I had a problem. I went home. Not temper tantrum in the Walgreens parking lot as I'm in the shadow of 40 years old. What a piece of shit I am. I do want to say what's interesting is Jake brought up Brewers Raptor. This guy's name is John. I've always interacted with him good. I don't know what Jake saw that got triggered, but that's okay. I see tweets from people all the time and I get upset. But Brewers Raptor later tweeted this, not separate from everything that we had going on. When I joined Brewers Twitter in 2019, it was a blast. People were fun, welcoming, and made watching every game better. Sadly, the people who consume it now are 85% trash. They live for losses like today. Look at the responses to my tweets. They couldn't be happier. So I think Hot Take Jake and Brewers Raptor are on the same page. And then people are like, we're not happy they lose. Look, I'm not happy the Brewers lost. I'd like to make fun of the Brewers. I like to make fun of the Brewers very much because they are very easy to make fun of. So it's like picking on them. They're like, I don't know, little brother, girl you like in school. You pick on them because you like them. That's the thing. Now everybody fights on Twitter. That's stupid. I don't understand. Speaking of Brewers, the link, I'm going to have a link. I talked to the guy since we last talked. I talked to the guy. I'm going to get a link going. We're going to do a tailgate. Now I just got to decide if we want a tailgate or if I want like a designated spot in the Euchre lots, which I might do. I might pony up and do that. I might do that. Bring a little bit of professionalism to the proceedings that certainly do not deserve it. And may I say too, anybody going to this thing, please be responsible. Somehow half of the people that interact on the show are sober. Please be responsible so that we can drink again another time. You know, I know that DUIs are like slaps on the wrist around here, but please be responsible. Okay, but the Brewers should have a, you should let them park there for like 8 hours or something, or have a service. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll start a service where I drive cars home from Miller Park. Where was your car, sir? Molitor. All right. And where do you need it? Okay. I will bring it over. Me and another guy drive around. Could be Shea. Could be Tim Shea, who was supposed to join us. He said, oh, I'll be up. I'll be up. Oh, sure. I'll be up. Yeah, call me. I'll be awake. Nope. Tim Shea. College expansion? The Big Ten wants to go west more? Oregon? Stanford? This is stupid. I was in geometry in high school, and I talked to the guy next to me. I remember this conversation. And I said, do you think in 40 years there will be more countries or less? Do you think that countries will team up with each other like European Union style, or do you think that countries will break up, the divisions in the countries will cause more separation? Because I thought more would break up and he thought more would, things would get bigger. And that's what you're seeing in college, is things are getting bigger. But what's going to happen is the Big Ten is going to go to 20. They're going to have 10 in the West, 10 in the East, and eventually they're going to they're going to split up again. And then someday they'll join again. And then someday they'll split up again. Someday they'll join and split up. The Packers released Ladarius Hamilton, linebacker. Amari Rodgers is a Colt. Wow. Breaking news. All right. Toby and Paul on tomorrow's episode. I love you guys so fucking much. See ya.
Tax day is coming.
Oh, no.
But if you sign up for Robinhood Gold's IRA with a 3% match, you can get up to $195 for the 2023 tax year.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up at Robinhood.com/boost by tax day to get the biggest contribution match on the market. Subscription fees apply. You know you got the
most. Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.